So I've been using overheads all through the program, and no point in changing now. And so this is work from a group of people from sunny places. And I was trying to figure out to select a topic to talk about that might actually fit into what in principle is a 15-minute talk. So I thought I'd try something simple, namely PV homogenization. Of course, nothing is ever simple, but in any case, I want to talk about the fate of PV homogenization with magnetic linkage and its implication for the formation of jets in MHD. And there's been a lot of discussion in this program so far, particularly with the influence of the adjacent climate program on the subject of jets. And we've been interested in the possible formation or lack thereof of jets in the tachocline. So as I say, I'll try to keep it within the boundary conditions. We'll start with an extended motivation because I suspect that a number of the audience, this is a problem, or some are experts in this subject and some may never have heard of it. So we'll talk about the what and why of PV homogenization. I'll give some theory, and the theory sort of breaks into two pieces, some exact results that are simple and some more useful results, which are kind of in the spirit of the mean field theory, which are not so simple. And then we'll talk about the implications, and the implications are very much in the spirit of ongoing work and have to do with the question of where you undergo the transition from 2D MHD to 2D hydrodynamic behavior as you increase the magnetic field, and the subject, as I mentioned, of jet formation and momentum transport. So PV homogenization, I use the word PV for potential vorticity, and since it encompasses vorticity, don't bother to keep track of the difference. It's a classical subject dating back to the pioneering work of Prandtl and Batchelor. For those of you of a historical bent, the original paper by Batchelor was in the inaugural volume of JFM. And it's something that's had tremendous impact in the world of oceanography with the more recent works of Rhines and Young. And the question of what PV homogenization is very simple. It's basically a statement that if you have a two-dimensional incompressible flow of a scalar, okay, and the scalar can be active or passive, and the interesting case is when the scalar is the scalar vorticity field in the plane orthogonal to the gyre, that if you wait long enough in the presence of small but finite viscosity, okay, you will end up with a state that where the potential vorticity becomes homogeneous throughout the bounded region. It's a very important set of assumptions is you have a finite viscosity, you have a closed bounding streamline, and these you have dynamically set up then closed iso contours where you along the way have differential rotation. And like I say, there is diffusion is important. There are various speculations on other forms of coarse graining, but rigorously the story requires diffusive transport. And the bottom line of this then is expulsion of the gradient of vorticity to the boundary of the layer, okay? And very important in the line of thinking is the sequence where you first go to asymptotically large time, and then you let the viscosity be small. In other words, if you take the order of limits the other way around, you get the wrong answer. The time scales in question are the time scales to set up the nested iso contours, which scales as the Reynolds number to the 1/3 power. This is sort of the familiar time scale you get from combining diffusion and shearing. And then you have a longer time scale for diffusive homogenization, which scales as the Reynolds number. Okay. Now, you might ask, why should we care about what looks like a glorified homework problem? Well, interesting. The answer is it is ubiquitous in problems of 2D advection by an incompressible flow. And just this is no doubt an incomplete shopping list, but it's very substantial as it is. Of course, it encompasses the problem of 2D hydrodynamics, where the advected scalar is the vorticity field, the beta plane, familiar from GFD, where the advected scalar is the potential vorticity. These are cases of active scalar advection, and you can have passive scalar advection or advection of magnetic potential. I think many of you are familiar with this idea of homogenization from the point of view of flux expulsion. And for those of us in plasma physics, the active scalar can be potential vorticity and drift wave turbulence. All fit the framework of incompressible 2D advection of a field Q, which can or cannot be functionally related to the advecting velocity field in the presence of viscosity. The reason why PV homogenization is useful in these contexts is that it forms a relaxation principle. In other words, it says the end state is expulsion of the gradients to the boundary layer. So it's become very useful in oceanography for describing the time evolution, the time asymptotic evolution of a gyre, and is a driving a central idea in the theory of general circulation. It also appears very much in the theory of zonal flow and jet formation. And the idea there is that we should understand that zonal flow is an extended vortex with a net homogeneous vorticity field, and that vorticity field is the sum of the local vorticity and the planetary vorticity. So basically the total gradient thereof vanishes, so omega prime cancels beta, okay? And the reason why this becomes important for zonal flows is it specifies a kind of time asymptotic state where you have no local exchange of entropy between fluctuations and the zonal average. Those of you interested in this angle on the subject, I recommend this review by Rhines and Chaos in 94, in which he argues quite interestingly both sides of this coin. It's very interesting to read. Another argument for interest in this subject is selective decay. In other words, we're all familiar with the idea of minimum entropy states, and intrinsic to that is some idea of vorticity homogenization. So it's only natural to ask what happens to this in MHD, particularly with our friend the tachocline in mind, where we go from the state of, say, GFD to geophysical MHD. And the question is very simple now. Suppose you have a magnetic field linking the gyre. What is the fate of the gyre with magnetic linkage? Can magnetic linkage enable the gyre to support a cross-stream vorticity gradient? What are the dependencies of that cross-stream gradient? In other words, the product in this calculation is dq d phi. One might expect it'll depend, of course, on the scales, Reynolds numbers, and dissipations and all. And one particularly would be interested in something like a dimensionless homogenization criterion. In other words, where would this quantity, in some sense, cross unity? So, and this would then give you, in some sense, a handle from the point of view of PV homogenization, for example, on the effect of a magnetic field on the formation of jets, just to name one motivation. So we'll proceed sort of in two veins, first following the classical analysis of Prandtl and Batchelor, which is what I might call an exact streamline analysis, and then we'll follow with a discussion of a kind of what I would call a mean field theory, where you assume in some sense the eddy is some mean flow with fluctuations around it, at which point the transport coefficients have to reflect the fluctuations. For those of you who haven't seen this before, just let me briefly mention, like I mentioned, said at the beginning, you have to view the arriving at time asymptopia prior to letting nu become small. If you then just take dq dt equals zero and integrate over the area of any closed streamline, assuming you have nested streamlines, you rapidly find zero is equal to nu integral ds n dot q of phi, okay, which you can write as then dq d phi n dot grad phi, which you can write as proportional to the circulation times dq d phi. And since for nested streamlines, this choice is arbitrary, you have dq d phi equals zero for all enclosed streamlines, thus implying a homogenized state. So what happens when you go to, say, two-dimensional MHD is, of course, the Lorentz force spoils the party. So the governing equations now are the vorticity equation with the Lorentz force and the the flux or magnetic potential advection equation. Remember, of course, both the field and the flow are incompressible, and the current is just del squared A. And again, going to the time asymptotic state, one finds that upon rescaling, you have a very kind of clear and finite number of parameters. You have the critical parameter is the Mach number, the ratio of the gyre flow velocity to the Alphane speed with the local magnetic field, and the Reynolds number and the Prandtl number, or alternatively the Reynolds number and the magnetic Reynolds number. And L here is the cell size. Okay, so the question is, of course, this, the effect of the J cross B force will inhibit homogenization. And you can carry through the same sort of story as before, and you very quickly arrive at a normalized dimensionless potential vorticity gradient, which is the ratio of the Reynolds number to the Mach number times the line integral of n dj. And n here is, like I drew at the top, is normal to the surface of the enclosing gyre. And you find here something, a very simple result, which you could guess from dimensional analysis with maybe a slightly unexpected, but not surprising, as we'll see, geometrical factor, okay? So interestingly, you can express the total breakdown of PV homogenization as a magnitude factor set by the field, the Mach number, and the viscosity, and a dimensionless orientation factor, which is essentially determined by the orientation of the streamlines and the magnetic field lines. And here, N, you should keep in mind, is the normal to the streamlines. And also notice that this is a cellular average. Now, the expression we gave there is in terms of a field. And really what you would like is to have some dependence, to have the underlying dependence related to a macroscopic field. So with two-dimensionality in mind, and keeping in mind, of course, that vortical motion in two dimensions will stretch magnetic field lines, it's fairly easy to come up with an estimate linking the magnetic field to, in some sense, the externally prescribed mean magnetic field, and that's our familiar friend, the Zeldovich relation, which says, in quasi-stationary state, that the total B squared is of order the magnetic Reynolds number times B naught squared. Actually, it's slightly less than one, I think would be more accurate, because in some sense it's really the magnetic Nusselt number, if you like to think in those terms, but you could think of it as an upper bound. And in that sense, the dimensionless potential vorticity gradient then appears very direct, simply as a kind of square of the Hartmann number. So it tells you the cell Hartmann number, which is a kind of predictable outcome, not a surprise, quantifies the cross-field gradient that's held in by the spinning cell in the presence of the magnetic field, okay, and tells you that magnetic stresses can inhibit viscous potential vorticity mixing for sufficient B naught, and tells you then that the cellular Hartmann number of order 1 appears naturally as a kind of homogenization boundary. Now, some of that's fairly obvious, but what, as I say, isn't quite so obvious is the physical meaning of the orientation factor, okay? And what's particularly striking is the orientation factor vanishes in two rather clear-cut cases. One is the case where n dot b is equal to 0, which is when z is aligned with b, alignment being a phenomenon dear to the heart of our chairman, so maybe he'll give me a few extra minutes that I mention it. And alignment then is, you can see the relevance of that, because an aligned case means that since you have a closed bounding streamline, that the cell is magnetically disconnected from its surroundings, okay? So in some sense, you must not have this, or you need a non-aligned field and flow, because that's the only way you're going to get enough bending and magnetic tension to effectively hold the potential vorticity gradient against the effects of diffusion. So it's fairly clear that an aligned state is one in which you will go off merrily and get PV homogenization. A second case, which is interesting, is that the alignment factor, dimensionless geometrical factor, will also vanish for the case where the current is uniform on the bounding streamline. In that case, you can just pull the current out of the integral, and you have integral ds n dot b, which necessarily vanishes by Gauss's law. So it tells you, in some sense, for a uniform current on the streamline boundary, you have you can have no net magnetic stress on the bounding streamline, and again, it's impossible to hold the PV gradient. Now, just to show that such a thing is possible, a concrete but simple example one can cook up is a flow of the form right here for phi and A, and the alignment factor for this, for any streamline of constant phi naught, is simply 8 pi m phi naught, where m is a parameter of the magnetic potential. So this is an explicit example of a non-trivial inhomogeneous PV state, which could be of use for tests and so forth. The comment on all this is it's simple and clear enough, but definitely contrived, I think, because you're dealing with exact streamlines and microscopic resistivity and viscosity. And probably what one is faced with in any realistic application is, in some sense, some sort of vortex or gyre in the presence of some weak fluctuations or turbulence, in which case you have to deal with a coarse grain streamline and mean field mean turbulent viscosity or turbulent resistivity. What's attractive, of course, is there's really, so long as one is consistent, one can formulate the Prandtl-Batchelor theorem in terms of either. So one can then move on to a mean field formulation, okay? So this, of course, as you might expect, becomes not so simple. The idea here is to look at the homogenization of the coarse-grained potential vorticity and the coarse-grained magnetic potential, where now you have in the dynamical evolution both the advection of the potential vorticity and magnetic potential by the mean flow of the cell, but also some kind of transport effect. And of course, there are three players in the transport. There's advection of vorticity, advection of potential, and J cross B force, okay? And of course, the critical player in the disruption of PV homogenization is going to be the mean Lorentz force. And for modeling simplicity, we'll take the mean advection of potential vorticity as the turbulent diffusion times a PV gradient, and the mean flux of magnetic potential as the turbulent resistivity times the gradient in A. And now the d-dimensionalized problem gets a little bit more entertaining, okay? Again, going to the time asymptotic limit. You have continued dependence on the Mach number, You, of course, have dependence now on the what I might call the total Reynolds number and the total magnetic Reynolds number, where these are defined with the sum of the molecular and turbulent diffusivities. But you have now some additional effects from the Lorentz force. And the additional effects involve both the ratio of the fluctuating to the mean fields, which is this is a d-dimensional b sub p squared here, and you have a dimensionless factor lambda, where lambda is the intrinsic scale separation. In other words, to make this coarse graining viable, there has to be a scale separation between the scales of the fluctuations and the scale of the cell. Okay, so now, in addition to the three parameters that we had before, we have at least two more to deal with, right? The scale separation ratio and the magnetic fluctuation level as well. So as you can see, always when you enter mean field electrodynamics or mean field hydrodynamics, things get a little more entertaining. So one can proceed in the sort of the classical analysis as before to derive the d-dimensional potential vorticity gradient, and you find, in addition to our familiar friend from before, with now the Reynolds number expressed in terms of the turbulent viscosity, which you could have written down, and you recognize the mean field torque here, you find an additional bit proportional to the fluctuations. And you notice that this additional bit involves both the relative fluctuation and the scale separation ratio. Now, one can make a fair bit of progress in simplifying all this by exploiting the symmetries intrinsic in the problem. So you can relate n dot bj to the derivative along streamlines, use the stationarity of the magnetic potential equation from flux advection, and use this to relate dA dS then to the current times grad phi, and go along merrily. And without further ado, one arrives at a kind of a somewhat more complex result, okay, for the d-dimensional cross-stream vorticity gradient. You notice now, in terms of the large-scale current of the mean square current of the square of the large-scale current and the mean square fluctuating current, the phi here is an average over the cell size, continued dependence on the Mach number and the magnetic the total effective Reynolds number and magnetic Reynolds number, but a explicit dependence through the fluctuations on the turbulent resistivity and on the scale separation. So you have now, as I say, a more complicated story. And what this is telling you is, of course, is that through the small scale current fluctuations, the homogenization or lack thereof of the potential vorticity is coupling to the ohmic dissipation as you wind up the cell. And the rate of ohmic dissipation will necessarily limit or in some sense control the rate at which you homogenize the cell. And of course, ultimately, you know, the next step as you go down this road is going to be to have to derive some expression for the evolution of the mean square current as the cell winds up the magnetic field, and then you'll have a large scale, small scale interaction problem going, and the fixed points of that will really be what the determine what kind of a stationary state you can get. So you see very quickly, a simple problem is no longer simple, and this, of course, is this is ongoing work and is really going to be the focus of future numerical studies. And in some sense, a crucial element in going forward here will be at least to do parameter scans stressing the five-dimensional parameter dependence of this expression, and then ultimately trying to understand the couple large-scale, small-scale nature of this problem. In terms of implications and why we're looking at this, well, one, and I say these are part of the motivation for further study, one is the interplay of 2D hydrodynamics and 2D MHD. And in particular, one is that the question is the transition between these two. And I think many of the guilty parties are present in this room who are responsible for the statement here that it's well known that a weak magnetic field, when put into a turbulent two-dimensional flow, can produce large mean square magnetic fluctuation levels and, in some coarse grain sense, effectively magnetize the two-dimensional turbulence. And this leads ultimately to the transition from a kind of two-dimensional turbulence with an entropy cascade to a state of two-dimensional MHD turbulence with a forward MHD cascade, and also leads to ultimately the quenching of certain transport coefficients that some of us have been entertained with. And the question that always has lurked in the background is how weak is weak. And often the Zeldovich result is in some sense given as the criterion here, but one of the interesting products really at a very simple level of this analysis is that for a cellular flow, the Hartmann number criterion emerges very dramatically and obviously as the transition criterion, and tells you that basically the critical mean field strength that you need to effectively cause a transition in the dynamics of mixing in this kind of flow is set by the Hartmann number, or maybe more precisely, B naught squared bigger than eta nu over the cell size squared. And many of the computational studies so far have yet to really explore, the viscosity dependence of this prediction. In fact, actually, there's been very little exploration of even the resistivity dependence, although there's been some, mostly scans of B naught at fixed eta, but it would be, now there's some additional things to think about. The second problem, which we'll hear more about tomorrow, deals with jets and angular momentum transport. And in particular, the tachocline is a natural arena for the transition from second to last view graph, okay? Geophysical fluid dynamics to geophysical MHD. So one of the questions is, and this one here is PV homogenization, mentioned ubiquitously by Mike McIntyre and some of the other doyens of this business. One naturally wonders, is this real or not in 2D MHD? And a group of us, there are two papers, one in the CUP tachocline volume, one by Steve, myself, and David Hughes, and Apjay in the last few years, deal with the dynamics of jets in weakly magnetized MHD, and surprise, surprise, what happened for magnetic resistivity happens for jet formation, that weak magnetic fields alphanize Rossby wave turbulence, and magnetic stresses are observed to inhibit jet formation for a value of B naught squared over eta, which smells of the Zeldovich parameter bigger than a critical value. And there are many questions about all this, which Steve will answer in entirety in his talk tomorrow afternoon, which point to the question of understanding PV homogenization. And the question is the breakdown of PV homogenization in the jet really responsible for the non-formation of the jet? And can we test in a more serious way the dependencies on field and scale? Can we explore the Hartmann number unity crossover scaling? And could we explore the behavior of partially alphanized cases? In particular, most of these studies always look at sort of weakly or very strongly and very little at the crossover, but yet the sort of second formulation I described, the mean field formulation, seems ideal for a study of the crossover and the behavior of partially alphanized cases. So there's plenty of possibilities for future entertainment. Thank you.
Okay, we have time maybe just for one short question.
So you related your PV homogenization to the ohmic dissipation rate?
Yes.
So
it's not obviously the exclusive governance, of course.
Well, is the idea correct, just intuitively, that you're wrapping this up? As you wrap it up, you increase the current as you wrap up this field, and if you can dissipate the current before the Lorentz forces suppress the vorticity?
Exactly. The question of whether that scenario plays out, of course, is the interplay, the relative effects of the ohmic dissipation, the viscous dissipation, and the Mach number. And of course, all three, you'll have a dependence on all three parameters and govern the state you get.
Okay, let us stand right again. Okay, our next talk by